Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, time value of money, problems and examples. My main purpose in a lecture like this one is, here's what I'm going to ask you on the test. Just these, of course, obviously different numbers, but let's get the skill set down so that you're ready for it. And you'll have an attendance quiz at the end of this period. Then next week, probably on Friday, I'll give you another one of the killer quizzes that I'm famous for. And the whole purpose of those is obviously to get you ready for the midterm exam. So ride with me through this, because I want to show you, basically I'm telegraphing my punches here in a session like this, as I do every semester. Then I can say, yeah, I really did this well. They all got these problems right. The one thing about this is that on a test, a midterm, it's 40 questions, 50 minutes. So the faster you can clean up questions, the more time you have for the ones that are going to take longer. Now, I consider these math questions to be among my level three. So if you can kill off some level threes within maybe 20, 30 seconds each, that's a lot more time you have for the other questions on the test. It's all about time management in a class like mine. So as you can see, well, let me start with a question you, while you are trying to get yourself organized, is this a bull day or a bear day?
Bear.
Oh, you're good. It's a bear day. And actually, I hadn't looked at it since the last class, and it has turned, I mean, this turned from a cute little brown bear into a ginormous, one of those killer grizzlies. Wow. You see the classic pattern. The Dow is down the least because it's those big, enormous companies. It's not easy to push them around. And then the S&P is down. The Dow's down about 1%. The S&P is down a little more than 1.5%. And then the NASDAQ, just following that pattern, the smallest, they're going to get hit the hardest. More than 2.25 points down. This has turned into something of a bloodbath today. It's not a black swan, don't get me wrong about that. Now, as I have said before, and I want to emphasize this again, it doesn't really matter whether you have a bad day or a good day as far as bull and bear goes. You can profit on any day. Now, in a case like this, and I'll just bring this up to you, again, be careful when you are investing, for God's sake. The people like me and those Wall Street, Chicago boys, we are out there to take your lunch money. So trust me only to the extent that you absolutely must. But instead of investing in single stocks, you can invest in indexes, things like what are called ETFs. And I'll talk about more. I've mentioned them before, but I'll talk about them more. And I've got, give you an example. This is a bet against this Dow. It has a multiplier effect on it, so that if the Dow goes down, this goes down harder. And I kind of like this one. So as you can see, it's been up. It was actually up more. And so what I did was I threw just about $100 into it 2 days ago, and I just chickened out. I could have held on a little longer probably, but I got a feeling that it was going to start turning against me. So I bailed out, turned $100 in 2 days into $235. So there you are. That's what you can do. And that's a bear day. So in other words, bears, they're my friends. But of course, the problem is if you hold on too long, one more day, a couple more bucks, they'll turn nasty on you, as they have before. At one point, I was up on one account, $25 over 1,000, and then I just got greedy and I held on. And I mean, that thing just took me right back down and potty trained me. I mean, it just beat me down. Again, the thing is, there's a lot of it that's timing and controlling your greed to the extent that, no, it's once you have gotten money in, you've made money, Don't think you'll just keep making money if you hold on, because that's the way that you, what happened to me. And so you learn, and at my age, you'd think I would have learned by now, but no, I lost that one. But this one today, I got out in time because, geez, boy. But there are other ones like this. Let me show you. If you are a bear, you don't have to buy single stocks. You can buy, for example, here's the UDAO. This is another one. It's a little bit more of a magnifier, but it's a little bit, it's on the other side. And look what happened to that one. Now, SPXU is a short. In other words, it's a bet against the Standard & Poor's. It's one of the S&P 500 short bets. It's a bet that, it's a bear bet. And as you can see, well, spank me. SQQ is a little bit different. It's a bear, but it's a bear that is betting on downside volatility. And so it's not exactly, well, I think the Dow is going to go down, or I think, you know, the Standard & Poor's is going to go down. No, this one is more, I think it's going to have a downstroke with a lot of volatility, a lot of movement, rapid ups and downs. And that one, geez, I was in that last week and I didn't make very much. I would have done well in that. And here's one on the Russell, which is a wide range of stocks. You see me ignoring it. And here's another one. This one is a little bit nasty. Notice that it is up a lot today. It is a multiplier effect on the bear. It's a three times. So in other words, whether the Standard & Poor's goes down, this thing will go up about three times as much. And of course, if you lose, you lose three times as fast, or three times as much. So it's a little scary, and it's also actually fairly cheap, too, to bet on this one. But at the same time, don't expect to make a fortune off it unless you really are good and you get money and then you get out before it turns the other way, because these are nasty sidewinders. They'll just slide at you and you'll think, here's a nice one, and then it'll turn around on the other side of you and be there and bite you. A little bit of advice. Now, if you can, you'll have a look here. Obviously, we're getting killed today in the market. And crude oil is pushing up. It's going to make it. It wants. I would almost say that by the time we get to spring break, it's going to be at 100 a barrel by this time. And of course, you're going to see that more. We already see gas prices going up, and they'll just keep going up. And they're not. There's no downside. These guys want really much. Let me get up here. These sweethearts really want that $100 a barrel. And once they want 100, I'll tell you where their next mark is, and it's going to scare the hell out of you. Because if that next mark after 100 is their goal by summer, ooh-wee, you're going to be paying a lot for gasoline, and then those hybrids and those electric vehicles will actually start to look pretty attractive to you. Moving right along here, gold and silver. Now, let me point this out. When you see these indexes, these are two indexes, 500 stocks, 30 stocks. This is a whole market, the exchange of the NASDAQ. When you see those going down, that means that investors, many more investors are selling than buying. That selling generates money. You sell the stock and it comes into your money market account, your cash. Now, you can leave it there and have it do nothing for you, or you can immediately move it to something else that looks more favorable. In this case, we see that the S&P 500 is down, the Dow is down, NASDAQ's down. In other words, investors were cashing out. That money went immediately into some kind of a cash account, money market account, something like that at a brokerage house, and then it comes back up. So we see here that there was a little bit of change thrown at gold. That's just gold bugs. Silver started out bad, but apparently it started to look attractive too. But what you would look at here is, okay, the bonds are down. My eyes are so bad. The bonds are down about 6.2 basis points on the yield. That means the price went up. On the test, I'm going to ask you the relationship between price and yield. on bonds. It'll be a simple question. You either know it or you don't. It's got to get inside you. Okay, I see yields go down, price went up. That means that's where the cash went. When those investors cashed out of the stocks, got the hell out of there, they didn't sit on it. They moved over to bonds. That's called flight to quality. The movement of investments from riskier securities to safer securities. The movement of investments from riskier securities to safer securities. This is a stage one flight to quality. Stage one means they went from stocks to bonds. Again, stage one means they went from stocks to bonds. Stage two would be you'd see them getting out of stocks and bonds and moving over to metals, to hard stuff. Stage two, that's when it gets the shot gets real. When you see a stage two, this is no stage two. Well, gold went up, that's nothing. If you see them running from stocks and bonds, clear over to the metals, that's stage two, and it's scary. And again, as I mentioned before, the old joke is from stocks to bonds, from bonds to gold, from gold to bullets. And so let's hope that we don't get down there to bullets, because I can run faster than you can away from the bullets. The Financial Times, look at what happened. It was slammed at the opening bell over there in London. That would have been last night, our time. It was whacked late last night. And then it's been crawling up out of that pit. It did all through the day. It almost made it into positive territory by the end of the bell, but it didn't. But apparently the bears had their fun. And what probably happened here was there was some bargain hunting. As I told you before, if all stocks get torn down in a hurricane, you start looking around for the ones that didn't deserve it. And you get them, buy them, because they went down and they probably went down too much for a while. So you start bargain hunting. And that's why you would see something, this phenomenon right here, a hard bear slam and then a slow crawl back out of it as investors found the ones that were taken down too hard. Now, the Nikkei, interestingly enough, did a kind of a weird twist. It started out high, and then suddenly just slammed the hell out of it in the early trading. Well, that would have been super late yesterday afternoon, late last night, over here, what was happening in Tokyo during their day. And then the rest of the day, do you see the bargain hunting, a little bit of bargain hunting going on after the slam? Same thing. And that's something that how do you know which ones are going to recover? There are ways that you can watch what the heavy investors are doing. You look for, suddenly stock went down, and then you start looking at, oh, wait, there's kind of abnormal volume starting to show up on it. That might be an indication that there's some buying out of the garbage pit. Things like that give you a little idea. But anyway, there you go. That's how we do it in investing. And as I said, as this semester goes along, these will be very common sessions. I'm just going to talk to you about how we think, how you read the charts, and some of the old school, well, this is how we've done it. This is how it's been done for a long time. This is the thinking of a trader or a broker on the street. Let me show you some things here, some stupid pet tricks. The first thing I'm going to do is show you that one quiz question on the that was a killer. I want to show you how to do that. Now, I'm going to be showing you calculator routines. This is what this whole class today is about, just getting it down so that you don't have to sweat and struggle when you see this when you get to the test. It goes to the old saying in my battalion, more blood in training, less sweat in combat. So here we go. The May 12th, 2017, you purchased NCZ Common for $14.36 per, and you sold your position November 4, 2021 for $18.91 per share. Rounded to two decimal places of a percent, what's your annualized capital gain? Okay, here we go. First things first, there are a couple of things. You're going to need to know the number of days between those two dates, because that's how you'll find the number of years between those two dates. There are a couple of, because we are going to use, if you want to do it by the formula says that the annualized yield is going to be the end over the beginning to the one over the number of years you held the investment, minus one. Now, the number of years here is the pain in the butt, because the number of years, that would be one divided by the number of days over 365. Now, that's where the pain comes in. You've got to find the number of days divided by 365, and don't forget to use parentheses if you're going to use the formula to do this. Now, there are different ways that you can get the number of days between the two dates. There's a routine on the calculator, days between dates, DBD. And in the last class, I was finding out that that thing is a little dodgy sometimes. But let me show you a couple of other ways. One is, on the exam, you're perfectly okay if you want to go to the Google and just, they've got calculators like days between, yeah, dates. And you just tell it the starting date, month. What the? Oh, month. Okay, May 12, 2017. So that would be May 05, 12, 2017. And then the ending was November the 4th, so that'd be 11/04/2021. And then calculate it. It's 1,637 days. So that would mean that in the formula, you would have to do the 1,637 days divided by 365. I caution you when you do the exponent where you'll make the mistake, where I make the mistake myself, is in the parentheses. You've got to trap that whole exponent and then trap the denominator. And that can get you. I'll show you. Now, there's another way you can do it, too. Let me show you. If you've got, and I don't know, I think Mac has a calculator like this, too. It's the native calculator. Let me show you something. Now, normally, this calculator is going to start on the standard calculator, but there is a date calculator in there. See, you can do it right there. Right in Windows' own calculator, it has this trick. And then you can put that into the formula. Or, if you're a lazy SOB like I am, let's have the calculator do the whole thing for us. Okay, turn it on. Apps, Finance, TVM Solver. Now, if I know the number of days, I put in 1,637 divided by 365. And that'll give me the N. If you want to do it a fancier, and that will tell us that it was 4.4949 years. Now, if you want to do it a fancier way, and this is, I'm giving you a caution because I was doing this in the last class and I was getting an odd answer. Apps, Finance, DBD is clear down here. Yeah, there it is. And you can say, what were the dates? It was 12:05:17, that's the 5th day of May, comma, 4:11:21. Close the parentheses, divided by 365. Yep, it got it that time. Now, if you're going to do it this way, it's the day, month, point, year, two numbers. If you're going to use a DBD, most of the rest of the world actually, when they give a date, they give the day, the month, then the year without a comma. We do it month, day, comma, year. So the DBD follows the European notational method. But see how fast it is if you want to do it that way. Now leave the I alone. That's what we're going to find. Now the present value is what you put in. And don't forget, a present value, you need to put it in as a negative. It was 1436. So negative 14.36 is how much you put in. You didn't put in any payments. You just got a future value out, which was 18.91. Leave everything else alone and just go up there, alpha solve, 6.33%, something like that. There it is. Let me make sure I put those numbers in. 18.91, 14.36, 4.48 years. Yeah. Now, if you can remember it, this is actually not that hard to do. And it's one of the level 3 questions. I might ask it, I might not, but you'll know how to get it done very quickly. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Second quit. Okay, now, let me take you through the meat grinder. I'm just going to show you some different problems, give you a couple of problems that will be on the exam. We're going to take them through the calculator approach so that you can get answers quickly to these. Okay. Starting today, you put $100 into an account with an APR of 2.99% every month for 4 years. How much will it be in the account one month after your last deposit? Guarantee you, the question will be on the test, might even be on the quiz next week, and it will be just like this with different numbers. Get the routine down. That's how this works. Apps, finance, or finance if you come from Decatur. Let it go, walk it off. Okay, 4 years. You're going apps, finance, TVM solver. The N is 4 years times 12 payments per year. Your I percent is 2.99. Now, remember that the compoundings will follow the payments. So I'll divide it by 12. I could say it differently, but if I don't say it differently, then the compoundings follow the payments. Now, if I'd said compounded weekly, you would have gone down there in that C over Y, you would have put a 52. But I didn't do that. So, and I won't do that on the test. Now, your present value, there's no kicker in this. You're not putting in an extra amount of money to start the ball rolling. But every month, you're going to put in $100. Now, before we find the future value, get down there. It is an annuity due. It said starting today. So toggle to beginning. You'll lose all the points on the question if you don't do that. And if you do everything else right, but if you don't do that, you lose it. Now get it back up there to future value, FV, and alpha solve. And there's your Uncle Bob. $5,104.79. Now on a test for questions like these, I always do it to round it to the nearest dollar. And I give you a little bit of room. The answer you should put in is, and for God's sake, don't put in the negative. I'll put it as absolute value or something like that. Don't ever put in a negative unless it's something really important. This is $5,100. So probably on the exam, what I would do is I would have this range, give the credit for anything from $5,100 to $5,108. So if you glitch and you wrote something, that last digit wrong. Saves me getting my tires slashed on my car for someone who got it right but just accidentally put a wrong number there on the end. But it's to that. There's your answer. Nothing hard about it. And like I said, you notice that if you know how to do this, you've got it in your routine, 20, 30 seconds, and then that's extra gravy you've got for other questions on the exam. And that's one of the things that I'm showing you is how to manage your time on these, because as the courses you get closer to graduation, you'll have more demanding tests and case studies, so you want to do things as efficiently as you can. Now I'm going to take you out here, and we're going to do... Oops, I don't mean to do that. Okay. So now we're going to go to the next level. You, madam, you want to live the dream. And the dream is to own a double-wide trailer on the south side of Decatur, complete with a nice white fence that you've got the beer cans on, collectibles, obviously. And you've got two dogs with five legs between them. Accidents happen, you know, with the tractor. They forgave you. Alpo does that. They're okay. But you want to say, okay, I should want to borrow money to buy this dream home of mine. You need a mortgage loan. Let's do a 30-year fixed rate mortgage with an APR of 4.50% for $150,000. One, what are your monthly payments? Two, what is the effective interest rate? 3, how much do you still owe? After 20 years. Living the dream. Now, let me show you how you do this the fast, dirty way. All three parts. Now, you can do this on a BA 2 or an HP 10C as well. You can even do it in Excel. This one is the most efficient way to get it done. Watch Apps, Finance, TVM Solver. Now, you're going to have a 30-year loan times 12 payments a year, so it's going to be 360 total payments. Your APR is 4.50% divided by 12. Remember, the compoundings follow the payments unless otherwise specified. The present value is the negative $150,000. And again, don't forget, PVs usually go in as negatives. Now, going through this, actually leaving before an attendance quiz. Now, there's no FV. Now, for God's sake, don't forget to check down there at the end to make sure that it's, because that's what kills me. There's nothing I can do about it. It's just, if you don't have the toggle on the right one, you'll get the wrong answer. And VeggieNet gives no mercy. What I really wish VeggieNet would do is, okay, full credit for this answer, half credit for this answer. And then I could do, what if they did this? Won't let me do that. Okay, fine, whatever. Go back up here to payment, PMT, alpha, sol. $760 a month is what you'll pay. Yeah, that's actually not bad for a $150,000 house, trailer. I mean, you'll be considered the royalty of the trailer park. Now, in Chicago, that would probably buy you a cardboard box you could put on Michigan Avenue somewhere. But there you go. Now, let me show you a couple of things here. Let me show you some. The effective rate. Now, the formula way to do it isn't a big pain in the ass. So this is 760. Now, the second one, it's 1 plus the APR over the number of compoundings per year to the number of compoundings per year, minus 1. Notice that the effective rate, it doesn't matter how long the loan is or how much it's for. The effective rate is just the effective rate. So if we come out of here, now I want you to, you need to leave this alone and just quit because we can use it a little later. Second quit. Really? Oh, I can't even see. So I can do it this way. 1 plus 0.04, 0.0450 divided by 12, raise it to the 12th power, minus 1. And there it is, 4.59%. Nothing hard. But if you want to get fancy, apps, finance, go down and find the EFF. And then just say, once you brought it back to the main screen, key in 4.5. Now remember, it's an app, so you use the percentage. Comma, 12, close the parentheses, and there's your Uncle Bob, 4.59. And it's even as a percentage. I mean, it makes you look like a genius. You can kick that out so fast. Now, I am so terrible with keying in algebra, in arithmetic into a calculator. That's one of the reasons I do it this way. Now, this last one. The balance. Now, I can do it by a formula that you see in the book, or I can do this. Now, remember, the calculator still has a TVM solver number set in it. So I'm going to say apps, finance, and I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to find this guy, BAL. Whoops. There it is, number 9. And then when it comes to the main screen, I'm going to say 20 years. I asked for how much was still owed in 20 years. But remember that this is all in months, so I have to do 20 times 12. Don't ever forget to do that. Close the parentheses. I still owe $73,335, about. Now, if you think about it, that's a little depressing. Two-thirds of the life of the loan, and you still owe almost half of the money. That's how it works. Amortization is very slow in the early years. It picks up speed in the last third. Now, that's one of the problems with a recession is because early on, real estate prices drop, and all these people who've bought homes in the last 5 years, 10 years, they're upside down on their mortgages because all of a sudden they have negative equity because they owe more than the house is worth because they were paying into it, but the equity wasn't building very fast. And that's why you have all these bankruptcies early in a recession. People just flipping out. They've lost every penny they put in because the house price goes down, but the balance on that mortgage is then all of a sudden above the equity that the little bit of equity they've put in those first years. Kind of a nasty thing. But yeah, there's your 73, and you just put it in to the answer box 73334 or 335. And like I said, I'll give you a little window there for rounding error on it. But I do this every time. My tests don't, I'm not creative. I have specific goals that I want you to achieve. And this is it. This is how I want you to do it. So you've seen now several problems that you're going to face. Now each of these would be 2.5 points. So there's 7.5 points right there on the exam. And that FV would be a 2.5 pointer. So there's 10 points of the 100 points right there. So you will not go home empty-handed or something like that. But anyway, and I'll do, now we're going to have an attendance quiz. I'm going to lay off now. Then next week on Friday, another one of the backside beaters will be on the agenda. But for now, that's all I have for you. Get that attendance quiz taken, and I thank you. Have a good weekend.